Amen. I'm ready to preach a little bit, get this off of my heart, and give it to you if that's okay. Amen. Got your Bible, 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. And we'll set out the drum at the end of the service. You can just carry your offerings and tithes up there. You're probably thinking, you're saying we need to pay the church off, but you ain't taking up offering. Well, we got to preach now. It's time to go. Amen. 1 Samuel 22 and 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, talking about unto David. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Everybody say 400 men. 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and the 8th verse, the Bible said, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." And it begins to list a lot of names. And then the 39th verse, the end of the verse would say, "There was 37 in all." Amen. In Samuel 22, it said, "Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him," unto David. Amen. And then after a little bit of time, the Bible would begin to list all the mighty men of David. Amen. And there ended up being 37 mighty men. Amen. And that's what I want to preach today from this title, Mighty Men. Amen. When I talk about mighty men, I'm not just talking about males. Amen. I'm talking about humans. Mighty people of God. Wonder if anybody's got a desire to be something better than what you are right now, and to be a better person than what you came into this room tonight as. Come on, set your Bibles down. Let's pray for a moment in Jesus' name. God, we need your help in this house. God, we need your anointing one more time to come down. Help your people, God. Touch your people. Bless your people, God. Strengthen your people, God. Make something beautiful out of this congregation, God. Do miracles in their life, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach about mighty men. Everybody say mighty men. Mighty men. So it was a journey from 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, where these men were in distress. Everybody say in distress. Everybody say they were financially a mess. And they were discontented. That means they were not happy. Amen. They were grumpy. They were broke. Amen. And they were stressed out. Amen. That was in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. Amen. But by the time you get to the second book of Samuel, the end of the book, the 23rd chapter, 44 years later, the Bible begins to list some of those 400, amen, and they began to call them and identify them as mighty men. Everybody say mighty men. Mighty men. These were not just David saying, yeah, these are good old boys, but these men were valuable enough to the kingdom of God that they get mentioned in the oracles of God. Amen. Their names get mentioned. Their accomplishments get mentioned in the oracles of God. There was one of the mighty men, the Bible said, that slew 800 men in a battle at one time. There was another one who, the Bible said, he killed men until his hand clave to the sword, meaning his hand was basically welded to the sword. He had been killing so many people. The Bible tells us three of these mighty men broke through all the defenses of the Philistines just to get David a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. The Bible said there was another one that killed 300 men at one time. Amen. The Bible said there was another one that killed two, it calls it, lion-like men. Amen. When you begin to study this, these men were trained warriors that were very unique. Amen. And this one mighty man not only killed these two lion-like men, but he jumped down into a pit on a snowy day and went ahead and killed a real lion. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Another one was described as being as fast as a deer when he would begin to run. Amen. And when you begin to think about David begins this training, I guess, of men with 400 men. And these men are in terrible shape mentally. Amen. They're depressed and discouraged. But the ones that stayed with David through it all, amen, there ends up with 37 mighty men. Everybody say 37. Everybody say mighty men. This tells me that David had more men that were content with being mediocre than he had that were desirous to be mighty men. Woo, I'm going to preach a little while. I want to tell you, 90% of David's men were not interested in becoming mighty men. They were interested in just staying mediocre. Amen. But I want to preach and pastor a church of people who are not interested in being mediocre. Amen. I want to pastor men and women that got their mind made up. I want to do something mighty for God. I want to do something mighty for my Creator, for my Savior. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. I believe that becoming mighty for God is a supernatural opportunity for whosoever will. Come on, I'm going to get away from the woe is me. I can't do it. God can use you to do mighty things. You may not be able to sing like some, play like others, preach like others, but you can go down in the records of heaven as being mighty in the kingdom of God. Come on, we're going to make a liar out of a devil that says you cannot be anything. You're washed up. You're a burnover field. You made mistakes. You messed up. So did David. So did all them broke men. They didn't handle their money right. So did those distressed men. They couldn't handle something right. But if you get with God and you stick with God, you come out a mighty, mighty man. Come on, let's praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, open your mouth and let's praise God right now. Ooh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. We're about to go from pew warmers to mighty men and women in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Mighty does not care where you start from. I said mighty don't care where you start from. It just cares that you start. Boy, I feel enough Holy Ghost in this house. You can start broke if you have to. You can walk in discontented if that's how it works out. I've seen a lot of people walk in broke, walk in not happy, walk in stressed out, walk in suicidal, walk in a drug addict, walk in bound by perversion, but they got a hold of the horns of the altar and they became. If he done it before, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty don't care where you start. Mighty is something you have to achieve. Oh, it got quiet all of a sudden. Mighty is something you have to work at. A great foundation does not guarantee achievement of being mighty, even though it helps out. Thank the Lord my mother's here. Amen. When I was sitting in church and I squirmed around and I said, Mom, I need to go to the bathroom, she would pinch my leg. I learned bladder control. I'm mighty at bladder control. Hallelujah. I say, Mama, can I go get a drink? She would pinch me again. I became mighty at controlling my thirst. Mighty is something you got to work at. Mighty is something you need somebody to push you to get there. Y'all going to let me push you a little while? Hallelujah. Amen. A great foundation helps. A great foundation really helps. Raise your children in church. Amen. You'll give them a head start, but that does not guarantee that they're going to be mighty. Amen. Mighty is something they got to make up in their own mind. I'm coming out of this mediocrity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Having a terrible foundation cannot prevent you from becoming mighty. If you desire to be something for God, I have seen men who had every opportunity to become mighty. They were born in the right family. They had every opportunity. They could, every door would have been open for them. Amen. But other people cannot make you mighty in the kingdom of God. I have watched them with every opportunity, and I've watched them crumble when they should have been successful. Amen. Then I've seen people start from nothing, with no opportunity, with nobody backing them, with no doors being open for them, but just a desire to do something. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Just a desire to do something for God, and they got committed. It ain't gonna happen overnight. It was 44 years before the Bible ever changed the description of who these men were. Come on, man. Come on, I've been praying 4 days and nothing's happened yet. Why don't you do it 44 years? Come on, don't become weary in well-doing. Don't lay down on Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Mighty is something you have to do. Mighty is something that takes a determination. Praise God. Think about all the people you've ever known in the kingdom of God that you looked up to and thought, my, boy, there was a mighty man. There was a mighty woman. Guess what? They had bad days. They suffered in their body sicknesses. They buried their loved ones. They had trouble on every hand. But there was something in their spirit that said, I'm not a quitter. I didn't start this to quit this. I came to David because I wanted to do something mighty for God. Boy, I wish somebody would praise the Lord in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, to become a mighty man, you have to be in pursuit of the right things. Hallelujah. You are in pursuit of the world, you'll never be mighty in the kingdom of God. Come on, if you want to do something mighty for God, you got to sell out. You got to lay your old life down. You got to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You can't touch the unclean anymore. If you're going to become something mighty in the kingdom of God, that's why we're not chasing after the world stars. I don't care what key they sing in. I don't give a rip how many concerts they sell out. I don't care how fast they run a 40-yard dash. I don't care how many three-pointers they can make. I'm not worshiping the creature. I'm worshiping the Creator. Yay! Come on, praise him. Praise him in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Become a mighty person. You got to pursue the right things. This is the very basic beginning of becoming something mighty. And I hope I'm stirring up somebody. I hope I'm stirring up some young people, and young couples, and maybe old people, and everybody. Amen. To become something for God. Amen. And so these men had two choices. They could have chose the kingdom of Saul, which would represent a carnal kingdom, which would have represented a javelin throwing kingdom. The kingdom of God don't kill one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Saul's kingdom was a kingdom that wanted to kill everything that opposed it. Amen. But on the other hand, Saul's kingdom was also a kingdom which had many positions available, and there was a lot of opportunity for promotion. Come on. Come on, I want to get deep in your mind tonight. Amen. It was the decision these men had to make. Do we want to pursue the kingdom of Saul? We might get, maybe become the governor of her, or the mayor of some of a little city. There's a lot of promotion. Or do we want to pursue the kingdom of David? Amen. A kingdom which had no money, who had no positions, who had no houses, who had no high social status. I began to think today when the Lord was dealing with me about, I thought, God, why did they choose David over Saul?
Amen. And the thought come to me as I was driving down the road. They chose to follow the anointing. Come on, I'm going to preach a little while. If you want to be a mighty... You got some decision making to do. There's a lot of places you could get a position. Hallelujah. This is middle C. I can play and sing. Y'all didn't know that. Praise God. Come on, church. Let me get deep in your spirit tonight. You got to make up your mind what you want. There's people here, you're talented enough. You could be on the staff somewhere, drawing a check, maybe preaching every Sunday. I don't know. Praise God. You could be the sound engineer. We got some of the most talented people. Amen. But what good would it do to get a position in Saul's kingdom if there ain't no anointing in the palace? Come on. Hallelujah. It's people that are worried about becoming somebody for themselves, that are looking for a position. But people that want to be mighty in the kingdom of God, they're looking to link up with the anointing somewhere. They come in and they come straight to the altar because they want to get connected up with the anointing of God. Amen. It's more important than who gets to read a Bible verse or who sings a song. Amen. The important part, who gets connected to the anointing. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Sometimes it's a hard decision because the anointing may end up taking you to a cave called Adullam, where there is no running water. Sometimes the anointing take you to places that ain't very comfortable. The anointing will give you messages that you may not get much pleasure in delivering. But I would rather be an anointed caveman than a fake preacher in a palace. I said I'd rather be an anointed caveman. Take this whole world. Just give me some more Jesus. Take your titles. Take your positions. Take your promotions. Give me another anointed prayer meeting where I connect up with God. Hallelujah. Come on, help me pray right now. Ooh, Jesus. Jesus, help this church. Help our minds. Ooh, God, Abasa. Ooh, God. We want to be mighty people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Choose the anointing, church. Pick the anointing. Oh, praise God. You know, my prayer is, God, don't bless me so much that I forget who I am. And I lose that anointing on my life. God, give me everything I can handle,
but don't give me more than I can handle. Come on. Come on. Amen. I know there may be places with much better programs, maybe talented more. I don't know. I doubt it. Amen. But they have more money and more this and more that, and everything's organized, and they call us unorganized. And I don't really care. Amen. I don't believe anybody's here because we're so organized. I don't think anybody's here. You were attracted to the organization of this church. Sometimes we start on time. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we shout. Sometimes we just preach. We're very unorganized. Amen. But I pray, God, I want your spirit to lead this church. I want your anointing to fall upon people. I was about to hand out 2 baptismal certificates not long ago, and there was something in my spirit. I was fixing to hand them out, and then I was going to preach, and there was something on me that kept telling me, you're not going to preach. I thought, well, you better do something, God. Praise God. And I start to call out the names of 2 people that had just recently been baptized. And back in the corner, somebody that just got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on them, and they couldn't contain it. And they started hollering and speaking in tongues. And the whole church blew up with the anointing of God. Hey! Come on, just say no to dead church. Pray, God, give us the anointing. Give us your spirit. Give us your power. Man, to become a mighty man, you've got to be willing to be led. Hallelujah. Oh, nobody ran the aisles on that one. If you want to end up a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, you got to have a pastor. You know what a pastor is? It ain't somebody you tell what you're doing or you tell what you're going to do. A pastor is somebody you give veto power in your life. I got a pastor. He lives in North Little Rock. And if he says, no, don't do that, no, I ain't going to do that. You know why? Because my Bible said I'll give you pastors after my own heart. Oh, hallelujah. This is where people get all upset. Amen. Because there have been a few bad apples along the way. Amen. A few bad apples doesn't reverse God's Bible. There's been a few bad saints along the way too. I met a few. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I might turn around and preach this way for a little while. Well, I just can't have a pastor because I got church hurt by one of them. Well, I'm sorry. Get one that don't hurt you. Get one you can listen to. Get one that you allow to lead you to the tall pastures. Get one that you allow to preach the gospel to you. You'll never become mighty if you don't find a David in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a scary part. Amen. Parents that don't ever let anybody pastor them. Their kids are standoffish. Praise God, getting kind of quiet. Amen. The parents, and I don't know why I'm just on this. But the parents that don't want a pastor, they raise kids that don't want a pastor.
rebellion goes in people's genetics. That's something you got to pray through. Nobody wants to be led. I get it. But I always go back to this. I preach at every service. I think about how horrible my life was when I was calling my own shots. You know, when you were strung out in a mess and broke? In your life? There's something ought to click in your mind. God, I need a pastor in my life to help me go the right way. Hallelujah. This is what a pastor's going to preach to you. You got to get rid of the bad influences in your life. And you got to invite some good influences into your life. I'm pastoring now. You got to get rid of the bad influences in your life and start seeking out some good influences. This is why, because more than likely, you're going to become what you surround yourself with. Well, I'm just here to help them. I've heard that many times. This one lady told me one time, she said, my ministry is at the bar. I said, God brought me out of the bar. She said, well, I hang out. I ride motorcycles with Hell's Angels. Praise God. I said, God delivered me from the devils of hell. Kind of quiet. Praise God. I know what I'm preaching. One of my best friends. His name's Jimbo Garner. He's about he's a few years older than me. He struggled with drugs and he'd get right. And man, I ain't talking bad about him. He's my friend. And he came through a long bout over and back and forth. And he told me, he came back to church several years ago and got the Holy Ghost. He said, God told me I got one more chance. He said, God gave me one more chance to do it. He said, God told me if I don't do it right this time, it's over. Well, he said, Pastor, I want to help them people. I said, Jimbo, why don't you let somebody else help them people? Why don't you let somebody who's never tasted a meth, never tasted LSD and acid and all the things, why don't you let somebody else who's never been an alcoholic, why don't you let them go to that halfway house and teach them Bible studies. And you just stay here. He said, I want to help them. I got a burden to help them. It wasn't very long. He ran off. I got a phone call. They said, we've Narcanned him 5 times and he won't come back. Hey, I want to be your pastor. I don't care whatever your problem is. Stay away from him. It's getting quiet. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. There's people with all kinds of temptations. Amen. If you can't help but look at nasty things, you don't need the internet. You don't need Facebook. You don't need Instagram. You need to learn how to set parameters. Can I pastor you a little while? If you're going to be mighty, you're going to have a pastor. You need to learn how to set parameters in your life. Don't destroy yourself. Come out of drugs, my Lord. Don't try to let the doctor give you what you used to do illegally. Can I help you? Can I show you where the tall grass is? want to feel Jesus in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get mad at me for pushing you. I feel resentment in this house. Yeah, it may just be, maybe it's coming from that camera up there. I don't know. If it is, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I don't care. Hallelujah. Let me help you. Strengthen you. You got a problem being faithful to your spouse. Don't get close to other people. You have a problem being faithful to your wife. Don't corner up women and talk to them all through the church. Don't be telling them they look good. Well, this is getting good now. You aggravated with your husband. Don't be talking to him about other men. And don't be trying to get other men's attention. And don't be texting other men. And boy, it's getting quiet. Well, let me make eye contact with everybody in this room real fast. See where it's coming from. Yes, Lord. Must be the internet. Hallelujah. Let's be wise. Let's set boundaries. Don't put your hand on her. I don't like men hugging my wife. I'll just say it right now for every man. Hey, man, I married her so I could hug her, not everybody else. I got a license to hug her. You don't. Praise God. I know. I'm sorry. I just... Amen. Well, while I'm preaching, I'm just going to go ahead and preach a while. Hey, listen to me. Let's be wise about how we do things. Man, I've been up here and a lady come up here and pray, and I'm way off my message, but they didn't sing very long. We cut out one song, so I'm going to preach a little longer. Amen. A lady come up here to pray, and I'm praying for her, and she hears, feels my hand and hears my voice, and but she's got her eyes closed, and then other women come and touch her all over. She hears my voice and feels your hands. That's awkward for a minute. That makes me feel funny, like I'm backing up. Is this all right? I want to be wise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Boy, this is, amen. I grew up, you know. Well, I just grew up. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, my mama, it was all huggy, lovey, you know. She wants a hug. My daddy, he wasn't really like that, I don't think. He was just pat you on the head. And so anyway, you know. Your spirit goes a long way. Let me just back up. I say life ain't got any reverse. Can I put it in reverse for a second? It may grind for a minute. But people's spirit goes a long ways. When somebody knows you ain't right, hallelujah. In their mind, they're thinking, what? That's why I'm just real careful. I'm just going to preach a little while. I'm already knee deep in mud. I'm in the hope. I might as well just wait on in. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. This is just me. I don't even pray for a woman if I think their husband wouldn't want me doing that. I'm not here to create problems. I'm here to help people get out of problems. And I don't want my ignorance to cause more problems than I fix. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Miss Hannah, it's usually better than this, but it is what it is tonight. Praise God. When people come to this church, I want it to be a good experience. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If they hear a man's voice praying for them, and you grab their hips, You're going to make their eyes open. They're trying to touch God, and you messed up the moment. Yeah. You're going to make me not pray for anybody if that's how you do stuff. Praise God. We've had them come like thinking, my Lord, let me out of here. I feel like hollering, hey, that's not me. I hate to be like that. Amen, but if I ain't got a brain, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This is good preaching right here. Hey, if somebody's wanting a touch of God, I want them to get a touch of God. They ain't got to have a touch of everything in the church. Long as God shows up, it's going to be good. Long as God touches them, they'll be fine. Now, I don't care what happens over here. The women and girls, and y'all can scream and holler, and we going to scream and holler. But if one of them comes up to me and prays, hey, man, give me a minute. Or you can touch their hand, I guess. I don't know why I'm hung up. I need to go forward. Help me, Jesus. I'm leading you right now. We're doing altar work 101 right now. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what I was preaching about. Praise God. Amen. You got to let somebody pastor you if you're going to be anything mighty in the kingdom of God. Somebody, you got to let somebody lead you. Amen. They're going to lead you away from things that will mess you up. Hallelujah. That's why your pastor should be involved in the things that you do. Not that I got all the stuff I can handle. I don't care. But I'm involved because I'm going to give an account. The Bible said I'm going to give an account. Now, I can't see the vision, but this is the way I can imagine it. You're standing before God, and God puts me over here and says, all right, you were their pastor. What happened? And I'm going to tell the truth like I always do. I'm either going to say, God, that one right there, they was true blue. They did it to a T. They went above and beyond. But if it's one that tells me what they're doing, I say, I'm going to be honest. I've already got it planned out how I'm going to do this. Because I've been worried to death. I don't like public speaking, especially in front of God. And he's going to ask me, what about this one? And I already know what I'm going to say if it's one of those. I'm going to say, I don't know. You ask them. Praise God. Well, this is good preaching, ain't it, brother? You feel like you're back in Bakersfield, California, Brother Frost? Or... yeah, thank you. That's a compliment. Praise God. Brother Frost is going to stand. When you're up there, it's going to be me and Brother Frost, maybe. Brother Young, I won't get to say anything if them two were there. So I hope you did good back then. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I help somebody? The people you need to be around are the ones that make you a better person. Okay. So, if you get around people and you end up falling into sin, you don't need me to tell you this. You're around the wrong person. If you're around somebody and you watch them fall into sin, you're in the wrong place. If you're around somebody and when you leave you feel yucky, icky, slimy, I need a prayer meeting. You're hanging out with the wrong person. Can I pastor you for a few minutes? This is who you need to seek out in your life. Are the people that when you leave their presence, you feel better about your walk with God? You feel like, you know what? I'm going to make it. I believe God's going to help me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This is why I'm preaching this. Because this is what keeps people from being mighty, is their influences. Hallelujah. Thank God I had a mother and father who were great influences. I started out a long ways ahead. Amen. Not everybody has great influences in their life. You don't get to pick who your mom and dad is, but there comes a point where you can start picking who's going to be in your ear and who's going to be your influencer. Amen. I've seen people that I would preach the gospel to and they believed it. And then they would go and get around somebody else, Brother Celia. Amen. And that other person would influence them. And before they got back to church, they were worse off than before they came the first time. That's the power of influences. It ain't right. Amen. You know what you got to do? You got to put the blinders on. And you got to run this race. Amen. And the people that are running with you, you can hang out with them. Amen. But the people sitting around gossiping and talking about the church and about the pastor and about this and that, leave them behind. You don't need that in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to end up a mighty man, you're going to have to be influenced by the right people. I've never seen somebody end up a mighty man being influenced by mediocre people. Hallelujah. Thank God for mediocre people. Amen. Bless them, Lord. Help them. Help them get better. But mediocre people are to be the lonely people. But the truth is, the mighty people are usually the ones that end up lonely. I'll bare my heart. I've already done half of it. You know, really getting close to God is a pretty lonely deal. You'll figure out not everybody wants it like I want it. The Bible tells us that David begins with 400 men and ends up with 37 mighty men. This should tell you something. It's pretty lonely when you're real close to God. You got to learn how to get your affirmation somewhere else than from other human beings. I know this is real, real plain. But if you got to have somebody pat you on the back and tell you how great you are and wonderful you are, you're probably not that mighty. It's usually mediocre people that demand all the attention. He's got one that's right way up somewhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need to look at everybody in this room. Praise God. Help me, Jesus. I want to do something mighty for God. I figured out even pastoring that. Even there's friends that pastor that. They're not as, I don't know. Maybe they're just not as crazy about him as I am. I don't know how to explain it. But sometimes you can feel like an oddball. You know, when you really love the Lord and you don't want to disappoint Him, and you get around people even that are just kind of carnal, you ever felt like an oddball? If you hadn't, that's pretty scary. Praise God. I want to do something for God. Amen. And to do something for God, you got to get in this word and you got to let it lead you. It's got to change you. You can't be two different people. One at church, praise God, and something else somewhere, Walmart and home, and cussing people and lying to people. Praise God. I would say other stuff, but the internet may be watching. The internet's a curse. Praise God. Help me, Jesus. David raised mighty men. The Bible doesn't really talk about David having church every Sunday and Wednesday and sitting down and teaching Bible studies. I'm sure he taught them some stuff. I don't know. You know how I feel like they became mighty men? I think they watched David's life. You know what's more powerful than you telling somebody what to do? When you take your tambourine, you begin to sing songs, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I believe those men sat there and watched David, who was a worshiper. And they began to learn from this man. Hey, this man who is a giant slayer. He's not real stuck on himself. He's not impressed with his biceps. This man is crazy about his God. And they watched David day in and day out take out his pen and write a new song. Sing a new song. No doubt they heard him praying in that cave and singing and playing music. And they're thinking, "David, we're in a cave without an address. And you're singing, 'How great is our God.' You're singing, 'The Lord is my strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved.'" And they're watching David's life, and he prays, and he sings, and he worships, and then he fights the devil, and he comes back victorious, and he sings again, and he prays again, and he worships again. David lived the life. I believe this with all my heart. The reason he made mighty men is because he was a mighty man before God. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus in this place right now. Oh God, don't let us be people that just bark commandments. Amen. I pray that people would learn more from me by watching me than ever hearing me. Praise God. And they watched this man, David. Amen. And they began to get confidence in him, Brother Brooks. Because every time something happens, he wins. Amen. They learned from David how to deal with God's anointed. Even when God's anointed had turned against them and was trying to kill them, they learned from David, you don't put your hand on God's anointed. And they're learning, oh, I thought you kill your enemies. This guy is different. Samuel anointed this man. And if he's going to die, God's going to take his life. And they're learning. Oh, I'm starting to see them. One day they come home. Ziklag is burned to the ground. And their wives and their children are gone. And all their belongings are gone and burned. Guess what they do? They get all upset. Amen. But they're watching David. David's making my... He teaches them how to deal with trials. When you get a trial, you don't go ballistic and chop everybody's head off and quit the church and get on Facebook and talk. I was just following David. Now I've lost everything. They're watching him. What is it? He's making mighty men out of them. And the Bible said, while they're all tripping and flipping, and what are we going to do? The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. You're talking about teaching people how to deal with life. Oh, God. Hey, man, when trouble comes, let David teach you something. What are you doing, David? I'm about to show you something. I'm fixing to sit here and I'm going to pray until I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. Hallelujah. Because when you get refreshed in the Holy Ghost, you can fight the battle then. When you get refreshed in the Holy Ghost, when you got the joy of the Lord, your mind will start thinking right then. Amen. Before you want to kill everybody. Talk about everybody and do. You want to kill David. Uh-oh. Praise God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. David, how are you going to teach them how to be mighty? I'm just going to live this life. Hallelujah. What are you going to do when they talk about you? I'm going to do what this Bible said. I'm going to pray for them that despitefully use me. Persecute me. Hallelujah. Don't you want to sue them? No. I'd rather God sue them. Don't you want to do it? No. Every time I touch something, I mess it up. But if I'll let God. Amen. Stand together with me. I'm going to give you hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Mighty people, they learn how to get joy from the presence of the Lord. I want to help you real fast. If you never learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord, you're going to be a sad person. If you always got to have the sympathy of other people, and you always got to have other people to make it right, amen, it's going to be a long life for you. Amen. Does anybody want to be a mighty man, mighty woman, mighty person of God? You want to be mighty? Learn how to walk out of a prayer meeting smiling. Learn how to work through your hurts, work through your offenses, get stronger. Going to be mighty. If the Lord tarries 100 years from now, do you want him to call your name? Say, boy, I'll tell you about that one. That was a prayer warrior right there.
You couldn't hold that one down. You want to be mighty? Learn how to work through your trials and let your trial make you stronger. You want to be mighty? Learn how to work through your sicknesses. Hallelujah. Sickness is real. Always, first 40 some years of my life, I didn't understand people struggle with things. But the Lord helped me figure some stuff out, become a little more compassionate. But you got to learn how to work through things, work through situations. I ain't got the money I need. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. You got the Holy Ghost. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're rich. You don't have any reason to be sad. It was 44 years of watching David, listening to David. David showing these men, hey, if God will anoint my hand to throw a rock and kill a giant, he'll do it for you. And he got these men to believe in their walk with God. Guess what? They multiplied. God will deliver David from the hand of the Philistines, he'll deliver me. They would kill 800, kill 300. Just whatever the battle required, the mighty men just did it. Why? Because they weren't broke and depressed anymore. They weren't stressed out anymore. When you've seen miracles, how could you be stressed out anymore? Has God done stuff in your life? Praise God. And it's little by little. I'm going to close this. I'm really going to give you hope. 44 years of watching that man and going out and working with him and fighting with him. Hey, I need some people to help me fight this battle in prayer. 44 years. I believe it happened so slowly that they really didn't even realize. Life happens, they say, fast, but really it's kind of slow. When you look way back, when you got in church, if you got in church 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 97,000 years ago. Sister Betty ain't here. She's had the Holy Ghost 85 years, something like that. It happens slow to you. The building of mighty people takes time. This is how you do it one day at a time. Brother Philip Sutter, you've been coming up here praying. I come in here at night and I hear you. You're crying and travailing. You know what I'm thinking? He don't even realize it. But that's a mighty man. I hear people interceding, touching God day after day after day. And they don't even, you may think you're a weakling, but I see things in the spiritual realm. I see God making mighty people. But you can't quit. Got to keep on pushing. We're on a journey. I said we're on a journey. Hallelujah. And their names were written in the book. These are the mighty men of David. Hey, like that when he starts to write, it rumbles. Guess what, prayer warrior? Guess what, Brother Blake? You just get up every day, go back to prayer. Brother Clyde, man, the Josh, we got new people that are touching God, praying the fire down. Come on, let's come down here for one moment. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Come on, let God do something in your life right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Ta-ta. Come on, God, make mighty men and women in this church. Prayer warriors. Dedicated people. Come on, people. People that the enemy's scared of. Come on. Come on, just pursue the anointing. Come on, pursue the anointing. I want it, God.